Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The New Statesman.
Hello, I'm Anoush Shakelian, Britain editor of The New Statesman and host of this podcast. And joining me in the studio, I have our political correspondent, Freddie Haywood. And this is an episode we like to call You Ask Us. We've been digging around in our virtual mailbag and have brought a couple of questions from you to discuss. I've got our first question. This is from Adam in Cardiff, who asks, does it matter who was elected in the Welsh Labour leadership election? It seems that both candidates had a very similar platform. Does the selection of Vaughan Gething have political implications in Westminster? So this was the economy minister and former health minister of Wales, Vaughan Gething's narrow victory over Jeremy Miles, who is the education minister, in the election to replace Mark Drakeford as first minister and also Welsh Labour leader. And I think I do agree with our questioner to an extent. It wasn't exactly a leadership contest riven by huge ideological divides. Not like we saw actually in the replacement for Nicola Sturgeon, yeah, where you did actually get sort of a genuine sort of debate between two front runners, Hamza Yousaf and Kate Forbes.
No, it wasn't a battle for the soul of the party.
Yeah, they represented different parts of the SNP. Yeah. Gething and Miles, they're kind of, I would say they were sort of both centrists. I think they're both solicitors by trade, yeah, both from South Wales, and they've both served under Drakeford, yeah, associated with his administration. And there weren't huge differences in their manifestos, really. I think Gething had more of a focus on health, Miles more of a focus on climate, but there weren't sort of radical differences between
their
policies.
No, they ticked the boxes. You sort of had, you know, we want a national care service, but there was nothing to show how they were going to deliver it.
Yeah.
They both committed to the review into the 20 mile per hour speed limit, yeah, which was already the government's policy. They, you know, there was a debate over who should run that review. So they were quite small debates, I think, that were happening. The broad general centre-left inclusive government with a focus on net zero and sustainability was shared by both.
Yeah.
And that, as you say, Anoush, I think that's in part because they were part of Mark Drakeford's government and they are both represent, I think, a continuity in that respect.
Yeah.
But it's also because I don't think there is that fundamental disagreement within the party about where it should go. And I think you saw that as well because you had these debates about Gething, about much more personal, bitter,
yes,
issues. And I think that's always a sign that the policy issues aren't dominating the conversation.
Yeah, that's very true. If you're highlighting, you know, things that might call your opponent's judgment,
yeah,
into question rather than his sort of policy leanings, then... And we should say, actually, if,
yeah,
any of our listeners haven't been following, this is the controversy over taking 200 grand's worth of donor money from a company which was run by a man who's twice been convicted for environmental offences. And the questions are over whether you should take money from someone who, you know, has been convicted in that way, and also whether you should take that much money for a leadership,
yeah,
contest at all. And that was sort of hanging over Gething's victory like a cloud, as well as the fact that because he was health minister during the pandemic, he's been before the COVID inquiry and, you know, there's not necessarily been a great deal of flattering things coming out,
no,
about that. You know, he was found not to have read vital documents, lost his WhatsApps, which seems to be, you know,
everyone's been doing it,
a
really
regular,
yeah,
error by people who are before those committees. And so I suppose in terms of political implications, because I think that's what our questioner is asking, I suppose there are some in terms of like he's a bit more high profile and perhaps there was a bit more sort of scandal or questions hanging around him than there was around Jeremy Miles, just for those reasons.
Yeah, I think that's right. He now has to deal with those issues. So the key thing is that we've had some members of the Senate essentially in private question that mm-hmm. donation and whether he should give the money back. So he has to deal with this internal disagreement over what he did. He has to bring the party together. He's going to have to appoint his cabinet, and I'm sure those things will be on his mind. He's also got this looming negotiation with Plaid Cymru over there because they're helping Labour pass laws in the Senate. So that's looming as well, that renegotiation. Yeah. And Plaid Cymru have been quite critical of that donation. So it's quite a bitter, uncelebratory mood, I think. I don't think people were jumping up and down with joy throughout the campaign, saying this is the future of the Welsh Labour Party. So the problem, perhaps, in going back to the politics of it, is that he will have to focus on these internal issues before he can look at the policy disagreements. And there are many, you know. Yeah. We mentioned the speed limit, they got a review into that. We've had this long tractor protest from the farmers. Yeah. Who are very disconcerted about environmental regulations that the Welsh government's imposing, essentially saying that they have to plant more trees on their land. We've had Steve Reid, who said to me in an interview, I think the week before yeah. last, that they should reconsider. So there is pressure building on the government to move on some of these issues. I just don't think there's going to be a huge amount of disagreement from the new First Minister than from the last.
Yes, that's right. And actually, maybe that's the problem. Maybe that yeah. means that he is vulnerable to Conservative attacks, particularly from Westminster on those issues, 20 miles per hour speed limits, the farmers' protest, but also, you know, the crisis in the Welsh NHS. He was health minister. The NHS is performing badly in Wales. And so you do get those regular attack lines from Conservatives that are saying, well, you know, look at Wales. It's worse there, or it's just as bad there.
Yeah, it was also, I mean, on that, that's one of Rishi Sunak's favourite attack yeah. lines in PMQs.
Yes, exactly.
Is to say to Keir Starmer, look, we can't trust you on the NHS because it's not doing very well in Labour-run Wales.
Yeah.
Which is also points to an interesting point about the Welsh leadership campaign, that there was a huge focus on the general election as well. I think obviously the First Minister or the Welsh Party leader will be leading the general election campaign this yeah. year. So that was also at the forefront of their minds.
It's also worth saying that his win is significant for other reasons. I think he's the first black leader of any European nation. And also, he's now the third non-white leader of a UK nation alongside Rishi Sunak and Humza Yousaf. And I always find this quite interesting because both the progressive left and the conservative establishment never quite know what to do with developments like this.
Yeah.
Because on the left side, and we've spoken about this together on the podcast, representation doesn't equal sort of ideological purity for them. So
and
it's
they get angry
of,
about it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But then on the other side, you know, it kind of undermines this idea that multiculturalism in the UK is broken, some kind of sort of dead doctrine. So, yeah. you know, while he's made a celebration of it, it's sometimes quite funny to watch both sides not being able to grapple with this information that tells a good story about Britain. After the break, it's Freddie's turn to ask a question. Freddie, can you give us a clue?
Yeah, we're going to the regions.
If you're subscribed to The New Statesman, you can get all our episodes ad-free on The New Statesman app. You can get it on both iOS and Android. Just search for New Statesman on the App Store or Google Play Store. We'll be back after this.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, Freddie, what have you got for us?
So this is a question from Rory, who asks, with the mayoral elections coming up, what would the significance of a Labour clean sweep be? A lot has been said about the different experiences of Labour and Tory mayors under the previous government. Might a Labour government try to depoliticise devolution? What do we think, Anoush?
Yeah, it's a good question. So the background on this, so we've got 10 metro mayors at the moment, including the London mayor, which is, it sits slightly differently in the sort of devolution yeah. landscape. And that's going to rise to 12 at these upcoming May elections, because we're going to have a York and North Yorkshire mayor and an East Midlands mayor. And then the North of Tyne mayoralty that exists now is morphing into a new one, which is the North East mayor. And the other mayoral elections we'll have in May are the South Yorkshire, West Yorkshire, Tees Valley, Greater Manchester, Liverpool, West Midlands and London. And if it was a clean sweep, I think it would be quite a big deal for Labour, because you've got Ben Houchen and Andy Street, the Tory mayors for Tees Valley and West Midlands, you know, sticking to the race. They're going to run again, and they've become weighty figures in themselves in the Tory party, but also in their region. So I think it would be a huge thing if Labour managed to sort of unseat them. And of course, the big story of the night could be that Labour loses, you know, one of their seats. So Sadiq Khan's team, as our colleague George has written about, are apparently worried about the effect of first past the post on that election.
Yeah.
So there are lots of things to look out for. What do you think? Do you think it would, what story would it tell if Labour had a clean sweep?
Well, you mentioned both Houchin and Andy Street. I mean, for them, it's key that they separate themselves from the National Party.
Yeah.
And I think that's what they're trying to do. Andy Street has been quite critical of the government. Remember that very raucous press conference at party conference?
Over HS2.
Yeah, we were outside the hotel and he got all the journalists around and he was absolutely furious. So it's things like that that I think will help him in the campaign. But we've got to look at the national polls and remember that they are Conservative Party candidates. And people will see the words Conservative Party in the ballot box. And, you know, we had the first poll out this week of the Tory party dropping below 20 points in the polls.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to deal with that. So, I mean, and then you also look at the Labour candidate in the West Midlands. It's a guy called Richard Parker. He's been at PwC for a long time. But when he was there, he was heavily involved in negotiating and working on the devolution settlement in the West Midlands. So he's from the private sector in the same way that Andy Street was. Andy Street was a former chief executive of John Lewis. But he's also been involved in Birmingham and the West Midlands and devolution and regeneration and city planning and these sorts of things. So it's an interesting candidate, I think, and someone who probably can try and match Andy Street, if not for profile, but then on experience. So that's an interesting question.
Yeah.
I think the other thing about this question from Rory, which is fascinating, is whether you'll get a depoliticisation of devolution. Because I think in many ways, if we take that to sort of mean like partisan politics, that's already sort of happened. We see Andy Street work very closely with Andy Byrne and with Steve Rotherham. So, for instance, on the HS2 package and the response to that, they tried to find another way in which they could do it with the private sector. So I don't think it is that political. And I think many of the mayors see Westminster as their opponent rather than other mayors around the country. I do think there is a sense of not camaraderie, it's probably too far, but at least cooperation between them. I think, you know, the relationship with Andy Burnham and Keir Starmer's office has definitely improved since Sue Gray has come in. I think they're in regular contact, so that's helped things. But they're focused on other things, and I don't think, you know, fighting amongst themselves is what they're trying to do.
Yeah, and actually that really came through when I interviewed Andy Burnham and Steve Rotherham in a previous episode of this podcast, because their common enemy did seem to be the Westminster system and the Treasury orthodoxy rather than the Conservative government. But they did make the point that, you know, look at what we've achieved so far, particularly on bus franchisement and other things. Look at what we've achieved so far. Imagine what we could achieve with a Labour government in power that had a bit more goodwill towards us and, you know, cooperated more closely with us. And that is something that I've heard a lot from within City Hall as well. You know, this idea that they've been up against an opposing party in government for so long that it's made it tricky to sort of get a new proper financial settlement for TFL, and that they're constantly sort of fighting with the government rather than working alongside them. So I think there is hope that if there is a Labour government, then the Labour mayors will benefit just from that sort of political synchronicity.
Yeah.
But I agree. I think they've gone in sort of more independent directions, and that does make it difficult for a Labour government coming in as well.
Yeah, I think the big question, at least for the North and the mayors there, is NPR, is the Northern Powerhouse Rail, this high-speed rail that's supposed to go from east to west, which is still on the cards. I don't think we've had full commitment from the government. I mean, they say they're trying to continue with it, even though they've not got HS2. Labour have suggested that they will. But there's a big question there about whether it has the funding, whether it has the, you know, the political backing from Westminster. I don't think that's been focused on enough by Westminster, but that will be a key sign about how much Labour is invested in supporting devolution, supporting the mayors and what they're trying to achieve.
Thanks so much to everyone who submitted questions. We do read them all, so please keep them coming in. If you'd like to send us a question, you can go to newstatesman.com/youaskus. And if you're listening on Spotify, just scroll down on the episode page and leave a reply. And YouTube viewers can drop a question in the comments. You've been listening to the New Statesman podcast with me, Anoush Shekelian, and my colleague, Freddie Haywood. We'll be back on Monday to discuss the failings of the UK care system. This episode was produced by Catherine Hughes.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.